And now another in our series of Shouting Science, where Brian Blessed uncovers the secrets of the universe. Today's episode, Schrodinger.
Gordon's alive and dead?
This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Episode 147, featuring Ron, Algar Watt, and Matt Robotham, with the Sarcastic Voyage unpaid voice acting players.
Anyway, so you're looking at the books.
Oh,
the,
yeah, right. That's what I was talking about. Wow. Uh-huh. So I'm looking at this book, and I flip open the, The Guy's Guide to What's Happening to Me.
Okay.
And it's like, I'm flipping through it, and I'm like, it's saying stuff like, so how do I know if my penis is the correct length? Mm. And the response is, well, God made your penis, and he really decides whether or not whatever the length is. But whatever it is, it's just right for his plan. And I look at him like, oh, it's one of these.
No. Now, wait a minute. Let's not dismiss this out of hand. I've always been fascinated about God's plan,
mm-hmm.
because I think of God as Batman when people say that.
Yes.
Or like a general in this case.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a military general with a big table that's a map of like the universe.
Yes.
So it's huge. It's an infinitely big
table.
Which
I assume he's pushing around replicas of Battlestar Galactica on.
Well, no. In this case, since he obviously has a plan about everyone's penis,
mm-hmm.
he's pushing around little penises on this giant infinite map of the universe.
Oh, man, that explains so much about everything.
Now, I don't know what other little chess pieces or models or whatever are on this map,
mm.
but if God's plan includes how long your penis is, then there's penises of varying sizes all over this table.
Yep.
And he's just pushing them. Maybe he's got the angels doing it, because, I mean, the generals don't always do that
directly. He doesn't have to do everything.
No. But, I mean, he's calling the shots. He's making the strategies.
Yeah, totally.
And he's, like, pointing to a grid. He's like, okay, we need much larger penises over here. We need to average things out in this quadrant here. I mean, I could totally see. Yeah, and, of course, he's got the long beard and the robes and all that.
Oh, of course. Your typical Gary Larson god.
Yes, exactly. And he's, he's a general also, so maybe he's got, like, rank bars.
Ooh, and, like, those weird shoulder things. What the fuck are they called?
I don't know, but
you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, like little tassels on your shoulder.
Yeah.
I don't know what those are called. I bet there's a word for them, and I bet someone in our audience is going to annoyingly tell us, and
mm-hmm.
we're not going to care.
No.
But we love you guys.
You know what?
But,
fuck it. He's going to be dressed like the Beatles and Sgt. Pepper.
Yeah, there you go. Only he's going to be, like, and Jesus is going to be facing away.
Yes, of course.
Indicating that he's dead. He's going to be barefoot.
Jesus is dead.
But I'm just totally fixated on what the hell God's plan is if it also includes penis size. I figured he left some stuff up to us and some stuff up to genetics. I didn't think he got that involved in the plan.
No, like, to hear people talk about it, his plan, it just involves everything.
See, now, I can understand, and again, not something I believe, but I can understand this. Life and death.
Mm-hmm.
Is God's plan. For whatever
yep.
reason, he decides who lives and dies. But to really get down into it and all the tiny little details, really, is it God's plan for me to hit a red light and make it home 3 minutes later? Does
Apparently.
He really micromanage that much?
Yep.
Because that gives me, like, I've had bosses like that
mm-hmm.
who just want to control every tiny detail.
Well, I assume God is like me playing SimCity.
Do you micromanage everything in SimCity?
Oh,
do you,
completely.
Like, and I've never actually played SimCity, but I assume it's similar to Civilization in that...
Wow, really? Never?
No, never did.
Wow.
And now people are Facebooking it, and it just strikes me as one of those, like, Farmville Mafia Wars
well,
things.
Well, yeah, but it was first.
But it's but it's on Facebook, so it's like a mom game now.
Yeah.
And that's not really for me. I'm not a mom.
No.
Unless
I mean,
it's suddenly
as far
God's...
as I can tell, anyway.
Unless it's suddenly God's plan for me to be a mom, I'm probably never going to be one. But I don't know. I haven't seen the board. Anyway, I'm assuming it's similar to Civilization in that it's a turn-based game. Like,
nope.
No. Okay. It happens in real time, then.
Yep.
Okay.
No, so it basically resulted in a lot of rushing around when, like Godzilla attacks or whatever.
Of course.
Trying to rebuild all the fire in police stations.
Right.
You know, like what happens in a real disaster.
When Godzilla hits the fire in police stations.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's what he goes for first.
Well, he knows what he's doing.
Does
he? Take his shit down.
Does he?
Oh, yeah.
And why the fire? What are they going to do? Spray him with water?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Because Godzilla's... as we all know, Godzilla is allergic to water, like didn't the he... signs aliens.
Didn't he come out of the water?
I mean, yes, but that's the only time he can come out of the water.
No, see, I assume that Godzilla's wearing a white t-shirt that will become transparent if shot with water, and he's very modest. And that's why the first thing he does is go after the giant hoses, because, you know, decency, Matt.
I really want to see him wearing one of those I Godzilla Tokyo shirts now.
But it's white. It's very flimsy white.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And, you know, there can be a Godzilla wet t-shirt contest, and, you know, he's not happy about that.
No, of course not.
He or she, because it's possible that Godzilla could lay eggs. Didn't that happen once?
I mean, I think so. Yeah, because where else would, what is it? Little God? The fuck was his name?
Godzuki.
Godzuki, yes, thank you. That was come from somewhere, right?
Well, that was the awful American cartoon that was actually a baby Godzilla in, like, the Japanese movies, but I don't remember what it was.
Well, and there were baby Godzillas in the American Godzilla, too. They were Velociraptors.
Listen, I'm not even, like, I don't care about Godzilla at all, and I even know to ignore the Matthew Broderick one.
I love the idea that in Japan they made a Godzilla movie where Godzilla kicked the shit out of American Godzilla.
That's, as well they should.
Yep.
I can't say I always comprehend what Japan does in its movies, but I completely understand and support that one.
I think I can say unequivocally that I rarely understand what Japan is
doing
in its
movies.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. There's a big culture gap there. I don't get most of it, and I've never really, you know, like, I haven't taken the time to get to know, and I know a lot of Americans have, but I will definitely cop to the fact that I get what Godzilla's about, and I get, you know, the need to have real Godzilla trample iguana Godzilla.
Yeah.
Because that shit just ain't acceptable.
Nope.
I know better than that. And the new one apparently is like a, I don't know, a frog or something?
Yeah, that was it. It was like an evolved, well, back in the, like, sort of mid to late 90s when Neon was popular.
Yeah.
You know, all science sort of came from frog-based technology, because remember that's
how Jurassic Park worked, too. Yes, of course. And wasn't Men in Black, weren't they just basically chasing frogs?
Yeah, of course.
And X-Files, same thing, just frogs.
No, frogs were responsible for the black goo and the Fluke Man.
Right. And then, of course, Deep Space Nine, the best sci-fi show of the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
The changelings, like when they go to the Great Link, it's really just a big pile of frogs.
Oh, yeah.
Like you have.
Babylon 5 tried to be progressive and do a show about toads, but it was quickly booed down.
You know, the ironic thing is QI has informed me that there is actually no difference between frogs and toads.
I thought frog and toad were friends.
Well, they are. Those are names. Like, Mr. Frog and Mr. Toad or whatever they are, are guys.
Lord Frog and Lady Toad.
Yes, but the actual species, apparently, there is no difference.
Mm. Interesting.
That's what I'm told. I may be remembering it wrong, because what QI does is they tell you that something you have always known is incorrect, and then they will go back and say, oh, just kidding, that is also not correct. They do this weird double bluff thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I will believe anything Stephen Fry says, but it's so different and self-contradictory after a while that,
yep.
You know. It's like people must be with God and his plan.
Yep. When I will Stephen tell you Fry... one thing, though. The largest frog on Earth is the blue whale.
Well, yes, obviously. Oh, Matt, you set off the klaxons. That's not good.
Oh, damn it.
And with that, we better go to a break before something worse happens. We'll be right back.
Sarcastic Voyage has embarked on a modest undertaking to chronicle the entirety of human history in sketch form. Join us as we uncover the mysteries of the past in our ongoing feature, which we call History. It's not as good as it used to be. Caligula, the third emperor of the Roman Empire, and also the first to be assassinated. Not bad for someone whose name means bootykins. History has judged him insane, a bully, and sexually lascivious. A man who intended to make his horse a consul. However, with all history from this time, these notions must be taken with a pinch of salt. After all, it wouldn't be right to judge the 21st century from comedy sketches, would it?
Psst, Emperor Bootykins!
I wish people wouldn't call me that.
Over here. Oh, it's you, Claudius.
What?
I said, oh, it's you, you know what, never mind. What do you want?
It is I, Claudius.
Yes, yes, we've all figured that out by now.
I have overheard a great plot to...
Well, I have only one thing to say to that. Stop hitting yourself. Ow. Stop hitting yourself.
Ow. Ah, but it is of the utmost urgency.
Urgent, you say? If you wish to discuss urgent things with me, it will cost you 10,000 sesterces.
10,000? But I can almost buy my own ship for that.
All right, 20,000. And your desserts for a week.
But there is a plot to kill...
La, 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 I can't hear you. Bit like you, eh, Claudie? Now I must leave. Your presence sickens me. Ah, there you are, Incitatus. Why does everyone have such a bad opinion of me? I just want ultimate power and to be worshipped as a living god. Is that really too much to ask?
Don't ask me, I'm just a horse.
Oh, that's your answer to everything.
Decadent werewolf pornography.
Who call him the Mad Lutheran. Police have found 17 victims so far, with a list of their alleged transgressions nailed to their heads.
Mom? Dad? I'm glad you agreed to meet me here today before family movie night.
Of course, Danny.
What's up, son?
Well, there's something I've known about myself for a long time. Honestly, I think I've always known. Ever since I was a little kid, I felt different.
Oh, Danny, sweetie, we know.
You do?
Of course we do, son. And you know you can always be 100% honest with us, right?
I know. It's just... it's so hard actually saying it out loud.
Well, there's no need to hide any longer.
Yeah, Danny, your mother and I don't care that you're gay.
Gay? I'm not gay. I'm a helicopter!
Fuck you both!
Remember a time in this country when we put two spaces after a period? Yeah, that's right. One space after a comma, too. This great nation of ours has lost its way.
Everyone's favorite Greeksploitation film, Ptolemite, rated PI.
I just love the fact that Tomorrow Never Knows is pretty much the first dance track.
Absolutely. They're more or less the musical Rosetta Stone. Everything's just linked back and forward to them.
And not just music, either. Their White Album was used mathematically to come up with the World 3 economic model.
If only we'd followed the Beatles, we'd have avoided the current global meltdown. Oh, hey, here's Tim.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys. Beatles, huh? Man, I really like Octopus's Garden.
You just don't get music.
Now, absolutely free, Free 95 in Canada.
Just remember the old saying, red sky at morning, that's kind of boring. Red sky at night, rapper's delight.
Hey there, Mustache Charlie here. You may have heard that we've had a little bit of trouble down here at the restaurant, but we've rebuilt, retooled, and now we're back in business. Ever forward, that's the Mustache Charlie motto. Those stories you've heard about hypodermic needles in the food, totally true. But nothing to worry about. After all, doctors use needles. And who's more hygienic than a doctor? Nobody, that's who. 1988 is going to be a great year for Mustache Charlie's. We've made a lot of changes around the place, thanks to the Microsoft stock I sold off. I mean, really, how much higher could it go? Instead, I put our money into Atari. I have a really good feeling about them going into the 90s. In fact, thanks to some pretty powerful foreign investors, kind, generous folks like Manuel Noriega of Panama and the Marcoses from the Philippines, we're expanding on a global scale. This year, we're opening franchises in East Berlin, Tiananmen Square in China, and even a floating franchise aboard an Exxon oil tanker. Those boys can get real hungry out at sea. Thirsty, too. But our main priority, as always, is providing a clean and safe environment for the whole family. That's why celebrity spokesman O.J. Simpson is joining the team. Bring your kids down anytime to meet the Juice. Take it from me, he's a great guy. I'd trust him with my life. Mustache Charlie's, this time for sure.
Mustache Charlie, 1, 2, 3, Must ask Charlie 456. I just want to know, why does everything I love eventually leave me?
Well, everything, entropy is the natural way of things. All things decay and die. Accepting this, embracing it, and moving beyond it is the only way to truly be happy. Or it could just be that you're a dick.
And we're back.
Hi, everybody.
And as promised, we are going to continue and conclude the Dear Abby, Miss Manners, and so forth questions.
And now the continuation.
Not the conclusion? We're going to do it again?
Oh, God.
No, this should be it, unless you guys stop writing to us, which I hope you don't do. Once again, thanks to Tidro for compiling these questions for us.
Still trying to think of a rank for you.
Yeah, exactly. We will come up with something suitable for you as soon as we can.
Yeah.
Now let's press back into these questions. Dear Miss Manners, if a considerate guest assists their host by going after flies with a rolled-up magazine, is the guest also responsible for removing the smashed fly goo from the walls and furniture? I feel like Miss Manners is really the person you want to write to about fly goo etiquette. I feel like if anyone can tell you what to do with fly goo, the proper disposal for fly goo, it's Miss Manners.
Well, clearly the proper disposal for fly goo is to put it into your fly goo bin.
Well, obviously. I mean, you can recycle it that way.
Yeah, and then it can be made into more flies.
That's how the fly economy works, the fly circle of life.
Yeah. Regular flies aren't like fruit flies. Fruit flies will just come out of anything.
Yeah, and they just come into existence somehow.
Yeah, they just, I sometimes feel like molecules are made up of fruit flies.
Yeah, I think while they're looking for the Higgs boson God particle, it's really just a fruit fly.
Mm-hmm.
They're tiny fruit flies that like coalesce into one giant fruit fly. Well, giant, relatively speaking.
Yes.
Still tiny. And they're just there. Because, yeah, you could have a spotless house and absolutely nothing. And if there's one grain of sugar, there's a fucking fruit fly.
Fruit flied.
Yeah. Fuckers. I forget the question. Good. Dear Miss Manners, though the question has arisen before, I'm still uncertain regarding a host's obligation with respect to hand towels in the powder room. When there are multiple guests, say at a dinner party, how many hand towels should there be? And when one uses a hand towel that the host has provided, should one do anything with it to signify that it has been used, or does the dampness speak for itself? Little drinking game. Back up your MP3 player to the beginning of this question. Take a drink anytime I said the word hand towel, and you should be wasted by now. Jesus.
You will be so drunk that for you too, the dampness will speak for itself.
I don't know that we picked this one because we had a clever answer for it. I think we just really like the phrase, the dampness speaks for itself.
The dampness speaks for itself was a really bad Agatha Christie novel.
See, I think that sounds like a Stephen King novel. With like a picture of a mud puddle with like a creepy water hand reaching out of it.
Yeah, but then it turns out to just be a giant spider at the end.
Well, yeah, it's always a giant spider.
A giant spider made of fruit flies.
Yeah. Dear Miss Manners, I discovered last winter that my kitchen cabinets, which are along an outside wall, are cold, although my kitchen is usually warm. Future modifications to the house notwithstanding, I'm thinking about heating my dinner plates like the English. Is that an English thing we haven't exploited yet?
Maybe. Well, I know my grandparents heat their dinner plates, well, but I just thought that was because they were crazy.
Nick has to have Willikins heat his plates now, that's obvious. Anytime we find a new English thing, we gotta do that.
Willikins, my plates aren't heated enough.
Very good, sir.
How that'll work.
Is there a particular etiquette I should be aware of, such as warning guests and family that their plates are hot? Is it okay to put a trivet or mat at each place to prevent burning the tablecloth? How hot are you heating these things?
Burning the tablecloth. I will not help to keep your guests from being burned, so don't ask.
No, and I don't even know what a trivet is.
No.
Thankfully, you left an oar in there, so I have the option of a mat, which I do know what it is.
Wait, is a trivet like a divot, but with three?
Yes, a trivet.
A trivet.
Yes. Well spotted. 10 points to Hufflepuff.
Fucking A.
No, I get that they're cold and you want to warm them. That's okay. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like
nobody
having
likes cold mashed potatoes.
No, and it's like having a chilled mug to pour beverages in. I quite like that.
Yes.
But are you heating them to the point where they're going to burn your tablecloth? What the fuck?
Yeah, can't.
Don't incinerate them. Down. Just warm them a little. Put them in an oven that's like, I don't know, 150 degrees or something. Don't, like, put them in a furnace. You're not smelting your plates. You're just warming them a little. Jesus Christ.
Here you go. Here's dinner fresh from the kiln.
Well, I flame some clay before every meal so that the plates are fresh along with the food, obviously.
And now if you'll eat quickly before the glaze settles. I took a pottery class once.
I was going to say, I'm always a sucker for kiln jokes, but you're really slinging the terminology there. That's good.
Hell yeah.
That justified your pottery class right there. You made 3 references to pottery. It made me laugh.
That and the clay Klingon war castle I built.
Okay, that's pretty cool. You should have made the sculpture of Kalus the Unforgettable fighting whoever the hell he was fighting.
Kalus the Unforgettable fighting the Forgettable.
Somebody the Forgettable. He probably had an apostrophe in his name. Next one. Dear Miss Manners, my husband and I drink wine. I don't drink wine. With dinner and know what types, brands, and vintages we prefer. When we dine out, we usually order a bottle of wine we are familiar with. Typically, there's an entire presentation. Show the wine. Approve the wine. Uncork the wine. Sometimes smell the cork. I prefer when they skip that step. Pour a splash of wine. Look at the wine. Swirl the wine. Smell the wine. Sip the wine. Approve of the wine again. And finally get to enjoy the wine with my husband. Is there any way to skip all the extras? Can't we request our wine to be uncorked, then brought to us? We would never send a bottle back, even if it wasn't exactly to our liking. So there's no need for all the presentation. Why not just enjoy? After all, the wine is placed at or next to our table. If a glass runs dry, should we wait or ask to be served again? Or can we just pour it ourselves? We'd be traveling and dining out every night, so any help would be appreciated.
Okay, first of all, if you say wine again, I'm going to punch you.
See, I was about to address that immediately, because if I were writing this letter, I would say that exact thing. She's making the point. She's saying, Jesus Christ, we got to do this with the wine and do this with the wine. Like, they don't want the rigmarole. I'm on this lady's side, actually.
Mm.
I don't like it when they, like, make a huge thing of it. Just give me the wine I want.
Sir's wine.
First you must sip it, then you must swirl it, then you... Also,
perhaps sir would like to swish the wine.
Also, I'm pretty sure Smell the Cork was a Spinal Tap album. No, I'm
You get the idea that they're being served wine by Steve Martin in a pair of shorts?
Quite possibly.
That's how I'm feeling right now.
Did you ever see L.A. Story with Steve Martin?
No, did he wear shorts in that?
He may have done, but there's a French restaurant in that, and Patrick Stewart plays the maitre d'.
Oh, nice.
And it's delightful, because it's over-the-top silly. It's not real at all. Like, it's very sort of farcical. And the restaurant is called Lidio, which it took me a long time to realize written out is Le Idiot. There's a lot of great little jokes. It's a good movie. It's really funny.
Hello, I'll be your server tonight. Yes. I'm Captain Picard.
Dear Miss Manners, is it polite to ask how a person was injured? In this case, the loss of a hand. Never thought I'd miss a hand so much. My friend met an upbeat young man giving a lively tour of a restaurant. He seemed completely comfortable with his handicap as though it had happened years back. Would it be impolite in private to inquire about his injury?
Just so long as you don't, like, bring up the loose seal that bit.
Well, this one had a yellow bow tie. There is a guy, this is totally true. There is a guy, I mean, I've been walking around my neighborhood trying to exercise a little, and seeing my neighbors for the first time in the 8 months that I've lived here, and like 4 doors down, there is a guy, no kidding, who has hooks for both hands.
Really?
He's got no hands, and in place of those hands, he has hooks. I immediately took to Twitter and made jokes about him, and then I felt bad, and then I realized he's not on Twitter. How's he gonna tweet?
I mean, he's certainly not using an iPhone. I know that much.
Well, and then somebody told me, yeah, but he could use Siri.
Ooh, shit.
So, yeah, that's a real thing. No, and, you know, I don't like to laugh at the misfortune of others, but, yeah, I do.
Well, I mean, when you have 2 hook hands.
And the thing is, he could get a prosthetic or he could just pull his sleeve over. He chose hooks.
Yeah.
Like, okay, prosthetics are expensive. I get that. But you can choose to wear a long sleeve shirt and sort of pull it over and just not talk about it. He chose hooks.
I'm not going to lie. If I had the option, I would totally go for 2 hooks.
See, I would go with something a little more creative, like a claw.
Claw would be good. I would like it so I could, like, change them so one could be a corkscrew.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't there a He-Man guy like that? Didn't Trapjaw have that?
Maybe.
I think it was Trapjaw who had the interchangeable. Like, he had a gun hand and, like, a claw hand and then, like, a hand.
I think you're thinking of Handar.
Probably no, Handor it would be.
Hando, right.
Yes, or Hando. Could be Hando. The Amazing Hando.
No, it could be meat. Could be cake.
I'm just thinking that hand job would actually sound like a He-Man villain. And then after they got it out the door, they'd say, oh, fuck.
Go, hand job, defeat He-Man. And then you should probably come back here, because I'll have other jobs for you to take care of.
By the stroke of midnight, hand job will have finished you off. There were at least three words wrong with that sentence.
Oh my god, he would so be one of those action figures that came with a little jar of slime.
But they forgot to apply the dye. It's just one mistake after the other. Total comedy of errors, not intentional at all. Dear Miss Manners, my sister's family stayed at my home for the last family wedding. While here, they experienced car trouble and fixed their vehicle in my drive. Not my driveway, my drive. Could have said driveway, didn't. Very British. After they left, I discovered a pile of discarded car parts on the other side of my house, where it could be seen from the street. Needless to say, I was horrified. What is the proper way to address this issue with my sister?
First of all, I'm frankly shocked that you were able to survive the heart attack that seeing a pile of discarded car parts clearly gave you.
Horrified,
so congrats,
Matt.
On that.
Horrified.
Oh, no!
Car parts! Okay, you know, it's a bit of a dick move to leave your shit behind, but really? Horrified? Really? Do you not have a trash can?
You're going out there just...
Fainting like Margaret Dumont in a Marx Brothers movie?
Yes, exactly. Oh, Captain Spaulding!
Oh, dear. Well, I never... Her monocle pops out.
Let me just apply my dickie.
Oh, really? Horrified?
Yep.
All right. Next. Dear Miss Manners, are the terms supper and dinner synonyms? Is there a time when supper becomes dinner or vice versa? Wow. Wow.
It's nice that we finally discovered, without a shadow of a doubt, the most boring person alive.
Yeah, it's a hotly contested thing. Hotly mm-hmm. contested title. But I think we finally found them.
Yep. And congratulations!
The thing is...
Good job.
I would clap, but I only have hooks for hands. How does he
clang,
clap?
Clang, clang, clang.
Wouldn't they get caught on each other? Wow, you know what? That guy could go ziplining like nobody's business, though, I just realized. I wonder about the supper and dinner thing as well, but not enough to write to Miss Manners about it.
It's like, I wonder about that too, but not enough to actually care about it.
No, exactly. Certainly not enough to put my name in print.
Yeah.
I mean, I like to write stuff about monsters in Star Trek if I'm going to do that.
Yes. Dear Miss Manners, which is preferable, the Star Trek supper or monster dinner?
Dinner with the Monsters is our terrible novelty record that we released in the late 60s. I was picking out wine one night. I think these are Dear Prudence questions now.
Yes.
Hobo costume party. These have titles, most of them. Hobo costume party. I was home from college last Saturday and the oldest person in the house. My parents were out for the evening. My 16-year-old sister wanted to go to her friend's 16th birthday bash, which my parents okayed because it was a chaperoned party. When my sister came down to leave, I noticed her clothes were baggy, dirty, and had some holes in them. I asked what was up with her look. She told me her friend's party was a hobo costume party and that guests needed to dress like hobos. I was turned off by the theme and, like a true tattletale, called my parents to tell them the kind of party my sister wanted to attend. They were grossed out by the theme, too, and forbade her from attending. Pictures from the party have popped up on Facebook, so I'm glad my sister wasn't there to be photographed. She's still pretty mad with me and said I'm a loser sister. Should I have let her go to the hobo party, or was I right to call my parents? Or do we both do wrong?
First of all, you're definitely a loser sister.
Yeah, I mean, this is a stupid party, but then 16-year-olds are stupid, so you should just let them do their stupid crap.
Yeah.
It's not like it's an orgy party.
We've heard from a lot this week. But mm-hmm. I think that I can safely award Mrs. Uptight Bitch to you.
Yeah, we were trying to not use that phrase too much, but it definitely applies here.
Or I guess in this case, Miss Uptight Bitch.
Well, in fairness, she recognizes, okay, maybe I shouldn't have been that. Maybe it's a little too far. She does say that she was a tattletale, but still. What the hell?
Yeah, what the...
If you're
everything I hated in high school.
If your sister wants to go warm her gloveless fingers over a flaming trash can and trade...
Sew up her bindle.
Trade sardines out of your bindle for, like, sawdust from another bindle. And
carve
then,
her a hobo nickel.
And then ride the rails. Who are you to say no?
Yeah.
I mean, let her take her crushed top hat and have fun.
We got any more hobo jokes we can think of?
No, I think that's all I've been able to recycle from John Hodgman. All
right, we should probably move on.
I will say I would like to see my hobo sweet 16 on MTV, though. Because really, that's what a 16-year-old girl chose for her birthday party. I say bravo. That's way better than gowns and tiaras and fucking buy me a sports car.
Yep.
Dear Prudence, my husband and I have been married 30 years. We have two wonderful grown children. After the birth of our daughter, my husband revealed to me that he enjoys wearing bras and panties. I was surprised and not sure how to handle it. I decided to accept him as he was because I loved him. As the years went by, I found this part of him to be a complete turnoff. But he's a great father, and because of the children, I stayed. I still love him, but have no sexual attraction to him anymore. Recently, we went on a vacation together, and he asked to come with me to get a pedicure. He received bright red nail polish on his toes. When friends and relatives inquired what was up with the red polish, I was shocked that he was surprised people made a fuss. He's going to increase his cross-gender desires as we age. I wonder if I can live with him for the rest of our lives. What should I do? Signed, what's next?
Well, what's next is that you buy him a pretty wig and a dress.
Yes. You decided to accept him. Doesn't sound like you did.
No. It sounds like you decided to silently judge him.
Yeah, and then tell Prudence all about it.
Yep.
And, you know, Mr. What's Next is not going to like that when he sees your name in the paper, because I assume that's your real name.
Yeah. Dude, cross-dressing is awesome. Yeah. Your husband suddenly has so many more options opened up to him.
Yeah, exactly. We get pants and shirts.
Yeah, that's it. It's sad.
Yeah, you know, and maybe shorts sometimes and a suit, but that's it. I mean, women have so much more, you know, going on. I would totally cross-dress if I didn't have broad shoulders and a beard. I just can't pull it off.
No, I agree.
It's, you know, I think you're probably in that same boat. You're just not the right build for it.
I look like shit in a mini skirt and a tube top. I can tell you that right now.
But I mean, there are certain, I bet like Pat McDonald, for instance, would make a decent, like, you know, Wayfish guys.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, when they bought a Sarcastic Voyage shirt that wore like a medium or small.
Yep.
Those guys would totally rock the, you know, corsets and panties and so forth.
Dude, your husband wants to be like Eddie Izzard, and Eddie Izzard rocks.
Yeah, he's like the best human being there is. Even though he is about to star in a remake of The Munsters, which sounds like a terrible idea. He's awesome enough that I don't care.
Yep.
And not many people are that awesome. Next one, Married a Mental Child, it's called. Last year, I met a wonderful woman who was smart, funny, attractive, and we both shared a lot of interests. One of the things she occasionally talked about was that she liked cartoons. I always figured she meant she liked them as a kid, but after we married and moved in together, I found that wasn't the case. She has a shelf full of DVDs for cartoons. A lot of them are the Japanese anime type, but there's some American cartoons in there as well. I was hoping this was just a collection, but she still watches them. I don't understand. Why would a woman in her 20s still watch cartoons meant for kids? I love her a lot, but never signed up to marry someone who shares the same interests as a 5-year-old. I told her that she should really think about getting rid of these little kid shows, but she gets angry at me whenever I bring it up. Should I just shut up about this? Yes, I'm not even going to read the rest of this. Yes, you should.
Let's see.
Actually,
the appropriate response.
Actually, it says, should I just shut up?
Ah, yes. Go fuck yourself.
I do want to finish this. Should I just shut up about this or try to ignore cartoon ponies on my TV whenever I can? Just so we're clear what she's watching specifically. But yes, I stand by the go fuck yourself also. Are people still, like, okay, you got to know her, you married her, and then you found out about it?
Yeah.
I get that some people are traditionalists and don't move in together till you're married. That's fine. But you probably should have been to her house once.
Yeah, it's probably not a bad idea to have learned something about her at some point in that relationship.
Yeah, you know.
I don't know if you've noticed or not, but we've moved beyond the time when you can just go out with a person once and then marry them forever.
Yeah, that seems like something you would know.
I also should point out at this point that, no, you do not own this woman now.
That's true.
And you cannot trade her for a horse and a sack of oil.
Or even a pony and a sack of ponies.
Pony.
All right.
As I gaze at my many, many, many cartoon DVDs.
Yeah,
and my pony.
Yeah, we had custom ponies made of us, so go especially fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I can't read this one. I have always been able to see ghosts. It's not a big thing. It's not something I advertise.
Except when I'm writing letters to people.
It's just something most women in my family are able to do and is accepted as normal. Now I have a 4-year-old daughter who can do the same thing. She chats about seeing my father, who passed away before she was born, as well as my husband's grandmother. The problem is my in-laws, who, like many people, think it's a load of hooey. My daughter will often sleep over and tell them about the people she sees, and they say things like, oh, that's silly. There's no such things as ghosts. Do I tell my daughter that I believe her, but maybe we shouldn't talk about ghosts at grandma's, or do I tell my in-laws that this is something our family believes and they should respect? My husband is torn, too.
You need to call Ghostbusters.
Obviously. Not Ghost Catchers, because that's terrible.
Yeah.
I just... What?
I always enjoy the... I have always been able to see ghosts.
Again.
Help.
we talked about this before, and it might have been in the last show. They set up the premise as something serious, and then they give you the twist of like, well, here and here's what's gone wrong. Mm-hmm. So the normal part is, I see ghosts, because obviously everyone sees ghosts.
Well, sure.
But then
everyone in her family.
But then my crazy in-laws think that I can't see ghosts. What's up with that?
What the hell?
Oh, man. I don't know. I don't know how. I'm honestly, like, I didn't want to see the answers to any of these because I wanted to just answer them ourselves.
Yep.
But I'm really curious how Dear Prudence or whoever it was actually answered this.
Dear Crazy in Tacoma.
Yeah. Wow. Next one. 25 years ago, my husband and I adopted our son because we believed that we were sterile. Not even a few months into the process, I learned that I was pregnant. Our son is 26. Our daughter is 24. I thought it was suspicious how upset either of them would get when an ex-boyfriend or ex-girlfriend were mentioned. Now I know why. A family friend saw them kissing in public. They finally admitted to me, explained even though they were raised as brother and sister, the fact that they knew they were not blood related prevented them from seeing each other that way. They've been dating for 5 years. They are engaged. They are planning to marry. How do I deal with this information? Is it even legal?
Okay, first of all, if it's been 5 years, I don't think you really have it. I think you've missed your chance to say anything about this.
I'm just going to say, not only is it legal, it's kind of hot.
Yeah.
No, I don't actually think
that. I don't give a shit.
I don't actually think that. I do think it's great. This is a real...
Yeah, because they're not actually related.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't be into it if, you know, if they weren't blood related. That's weird. No, I will say, this was a thing on the... Did you know about this with the Brady Bunch? Are you familiar with the Brady Bunch at all?
I think I watched like 3 episodes of the Brady Bunch, okay. So unless it was in the movie, I don't know about
it. Well, it was in the movie, but I'll get to that. Okay. The oldest boy was named Greg, and the oldest girl was named Marcia.
Okay.
Marcia. And,
Marcia.
Yes. So the whole premise of the Brady Bunch is that they're both divorced. Both parents are divorced or maybe widowed or whatever.
Probably widowed in the 70s. I don't think divorce was something you talked about on TV yet.
Probably. In any case, they married, and so the kids are not related. And the kids all have to live together. Behind the scenes, the dude who played Greg and the chick who played Marcia actually dated. Mm-hmm. So in the, I think it's the second Brady Bunch movie, they decided to get really meta with this and have Greg and Marcia actually be interested in each other, which I thought was fucking fantastic.
Well, of course you did.
No, not even the incest, just the fact that it happened in real life. I just, from the meta angle, I like meta. That's all it is.
Fuck, I remember that movie.
Yeah.
Didn't that movie also make it clear that Mrs. Brady's brother was Gilligan?
No. Her first husband.
That's hilarious.
I might have been the professor, but somebody who ended up stranded on Gilligan's Island anyway. And the reason for that was the dude Sherwood Schwartz created both shows.
I like that.
Yeah, me too. No, those movies were fantastic. They were.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the first two. Then they did some made-for-TV crap. But the first two were really funny and just weird and more mocking the originals than anything.
It's like that sort of rare, like... When they make a movie based on a TV show that's been canceled for 20 years, and it actually works. The same thing happened with the Addams Family movies.
Well, yeah, because the Addams Family just sort of stuck to the material. Mm-hmm. They just sort of modernized
it.
No, it totally worked. But with the Brady Bunch, they were respectful, but they were also completely satirizing it.
Yeah.
Whereas the Addams Family was just true to the show, true to the comics, and just brought it to the 90s and made it creepier because it was a movie.
Yes.
And they
introduced us to the hit song Whoomp Adams Family.
There it is. Next question. Without being too graphic, lately several pairs of my underwear have gone missing. I'm married to a man with teenagers from his first marriage. My stepson and my stepdaughter stay with us each weekend. I'm in my early 30s. Some relatives visited my husband and me for the holiday weekend, and some stayed in my stepson's room. While cleaning his room in preparation for their arrival, I discovered several pairs of my underwear crammed into a secret space, as well as some pictures of me in a bikini. I'm trying not to feel weird around my stepson because I remember the unpredictable crushes I developed as a result of my hormones. But I buy nice underwear, and I would like him to stop taking mine. I'm not sure if I should tell my husband about his son's crush and ask him to deal with this, or if I should casually ask my stepson to stop. What do you think the least embarrassing option is?
I think just give him some underwear.
I think you should maybe take that other woman's husband's underwear. And both problems will be solved very nicely.
That'll teach him.
Actually, no, I think this is what our pal James T. Kirk would call the no-win scenario. There is no extricating yourself from this without, you know, blowing up the Kobayashi Maru or pissing off the Klingons. You're fucked. There is no way.
Al, I don't believe in the no-win scenario.
Matt, put that apple down.
No.
All right. Next. Dear Ann Landers, I am engaged to a wonderful man I've known for 4 years. Dudley and I plan to be married next summer. That's the name you went with, huh? Dudley?
Dudley.
I wonder what they're trying to say with that. He is a kind soul and a perfect gentleman. Everything was great until a few weeks ago when Dudley started to hit me while he was asleep. The first time he punched my rear end with his fist and then stopped suddenly. Last night he hit me in the stomach twice. Both times I woke him up and expressed astonishment. He was completely unaware of what he had done. When I asked him why he was hitting me, he said he had no recollection of doing it and wondered if maybe I dreamt it. Well, Anne, I was definitely not dreaming. Dudley did indeed hit me. I asked him if perhaps he dreamed he was in a fight, and he said it was possible, but he never remembers his dreams. I find this hard to believe because I remember mine. I am truly concerned that Dudley has a subconscious wish to hurt me. Please tell me how to handle this. Bruised in Dallas.
I feel like you should drop an anvil on him.
Or maybe a piano.
Yes, that'll work nicely.
Yes, not a safe, though. Because then you'd have to get a safe.
Well, I mean, then he'll just, like, reach out and undo the combination and get out.
And hit you again.
Yes.
I do like that she described it as though you were relating a fight. First he hit me one time, and then he hit me two times. This is weird.
Yeah.
Who? What?
Who names a person Dudley?
Yeah, I don't even get that. I mean, yeah. His name can't actually be Dudley. It's a pseudonym, right? So, therefore, you want to call him Dudley. What does that say about your subconscious urges?
Yeah.
All right, final...
I mean, do we know any famous Dudleys?
Well, I mean, apart from Do-Right, and he's a fictional character.
Does he ride his horse backwards?
Oh, no. Dudley
Moore.
Is that
what's happening here?
Dudley Moore was a comedian. He was the original Arthur from the movie Arthur. He was actually a very prominent British comedian before that.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. So, Dudley Moore.
Well, that guy's a drunk, so...
Obviously. So, he beats his wife in his sleep. If this guy runs for mayor, people are totally going to ask him if he stopped beating his wife in his sleep.
This took a dark turn.
It took a dark turn? This guy's beating his wife and I got dark?
Well, I mean, he's sleep beating her.
Oh, well, that's okay then.
Oh, yeah.
Like when I sleep robbed that convenience store.
What was the rule? It was legal to sleep beat your wife if you only used a bed frame that was the width of your three fingers or something?
No, it was a nightcap the width of your thumb.
Right.
That's
okay.
Where the expression rule of nightcap comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Final letter, dear Ann Landers. Please warn your readers about the dangers of using satin sheets. I had them on my bed for years and I never gave them a moment's thought. One morning as I lay on my stomach, I saw a towel on the floor and stretched down to pick it up. My body slid off the bed so quickly, I had no time to react. I broke my neck. I was told that I came very close to becoming a quadriplegic. Fortunately, the spinal cord was not severed. My doctor's was superb, and I am slowly recovering. The next person may not be as lucky as I was, Anne. Please say something about this in your column. Opt for cotton sheets, Manchester, Connecticut.
I really hope that what Anne said about this in her column was, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha.
Yeah, listen, I don't want anyone to become a quadriplegic. Well... almost anyone to
become
a quadriplegic.
I got a list somewhere.
Now, paraplegic maybe. Quadriplegic's a bit much. I am a pacifist after all. But really? Satin sheets, huh?
Just slid right out.
You're not gonna blame your own ineptitude on that. You're gonna blame the satin sheets.
I'm sorry, but if you can't even lie in a bed correctly.
Yeah. I think there's an award for that, and I think it's called the Darwin Award, and I think you almost won it.
Yep.
You're like a Darwin Award runner up. Which is just
well, it's
a
an
shame.
Honor just to be nominated.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, that is all the Dear Abby and Landers questions we have. This was fun.
Yes.
I enjoyed this. We may do this again someday.
Indeed, we must.
But for now, we've done two shows of it in a row, and we need you guys to write to us.
Yes.
That address is podcast@algar.com. We do also have the voicemail, 206-973-3982. You should ask us stuff about anything you want. We are here to serve you in this segment.
Keep those cards and letters coming.
Yes. Oh, you could send us cards and letters if you want my personal mailing address or Matt's. Let us know and we will give that to you.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to give it out on the podcast, but we will gladly do that if you want to send us a postcard or a letter or whatever. We would love to do that.
Yes, we would.
And that is all for us for now. Next show, we will be back doing what we do with a guest again, and I'll be back from vacation, and I'll probably have some awful stories to tell about that, so look forward to that. I was about to ask you to say your thing, but on this show I say my thing. So
yes. So say your thing, Al. How do you like it?
We're going to see you, folks.
This installment of the Sarcastic Voyage podcast featured Ron Algar Watt and Matt Robotham, with Mark Bosco, Joe Keenley, Amanda Smith, and Sabrina Snyder. It was written by Ron Algar Watt and Matt Robotham, with Gav Brown. Visit sarcasticvoyage.com for show notes, alternate file formats, and related merchandise. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com or to the show's voicemail, 206-973-3982. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions, copyright 2012. This is Baltimore, once a city of 600,000 people. 600,000 filthy, disgusting, mean-spirited, petty, and just plain awful people with the most ridiculous accent you've ever heard. What has happened here is unrelated to just how horrible these people are. It was caused by a force which, up until a few days ago, was completely beyond the scope of man's imagination.
Now let's have it, Bill. What about this monster story of yours?
Well, it's big and terrible. Terrible in the sense that it's a really crummy monster that apparently breathes cake and is completely unaware that it's causing rampant destruction, I think. It's hard to tell because this city is already really run down. And now it's making its way towards the city's mainline defense. Homeless guy with a rake.
Ah, Lord! Get out of here! Get!
I can hardly believe what just happened. Now, it seems, Baltimore has no defense. I guess. Whatever. I'm saying a prayer, George. A prayer that you'll move me off this crummy beat and give me a real assignment. Seriously, I'd rather write the Junior Jumble than do this. It smells like boiled garbage here. Also, there's a monster. Sort of. This is Bill Murray, signing off from Baltimore. Not the comedian, I'm a different Bill Murray.
Goliza, appointed figurehead of the monsters.